Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's so good to see you today. We have a good number of visitors. We're really glad you're here. Good to see you and hope to get to meet each of you. We have a number of our own that are away, so it makes us extra glad to see some visitors with us today. Well, today is a special day for many in remembrance of Mother's Day. It's one of those days I wonder sometime, why do we have Mother's Day once a year? And it seems as though we should have a day of remembrance of mothers more often than that. You know, someone said, a mother's love is instinctual, conditional, and forever. And I think there's some truth to that. In fact, I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's, in fact, kind of hard to explain or define the undying love of a good mother. And many of us have experienced that love, and we know what it feels like. And it feels good. A mother will sacrifice her own happiness or welfare to protect the well-being of her children. I've seen that happen. Haven't you? I mean, mothers will just act in extreme ways at times to care for their own, to nurture their own. Like a mother who makes choices to make life of her children comfortable and joyous, even at the expense sometimes of her own happiness. Someone else said, A mother loves her children even when they least deserve to be loved. Well, that's true too. I think I was the recipient of love such as that. That was not very often deserved, but very glad to have had it. Sometimes children can do some things that will just absolutely irk us and just try us to no end, but somehow mama loves us anyway. And I'm convinced that that's just part of the nature of woman. That's the way God made her. God made woman different than man, thankfully so, giving her a softer and nurturing ability. That motherly instinct is something that God has put in woman. And on top of that, some of the best mothers I know are the ones who have been willing to listen to good counsel. That is the kind of advice that comes from older, godly women who admonish them, as the apostle said, to love their husbands and to love their children. A mother who refuses instruction is not going to be a good teacher of children. The nurturing of a mother lasts a lifetime. It's something that you just don't forget. Years and years later, you can still recall the love demonstrated by a mother so long ago. You think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, how she was with Jesus and how she cared for him and was concerned for him. From the cradle all the way to the cross, she was there. From the time of a babe in her womb through the years of growing up to the events before the cross and even after the resurrection, she was there. And her influence was a present reminder of her love, a constant source of strength. A godly mother then protects her children. You think about the story of Jochebed. Remember her? You know, the mother of Moses. You think back to Exodus chapter 1, and you remember her love for Moses in a time when Pharaoh had decreed that all of the male babies would be killed. And yet she went to extremes, we might think, to save her son. She demonstrated that kind of love and protection. And she did so by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 helps us to see that part of the story, that it was by faith in God that she responded, that she acted, that she literally gave up her child to save him. And Moses became then the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even. But it saved her son. The extreme that mothers will go to protect their own. A godly mother protects her children in every way that she can. You think about the virtuous woman as she might be called from Proverbs chapter 31. A godly mother protects her children from hunger. She provides food. She gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her family, the text would say. She protects her children from ignorance because it goes on to say that she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. What a blessing it is to have a mother who is concerned about these things. And not wanting us to live in ignorance, but will tell us and teach us about truth. A godly mother protects her children from selfishness by demonstrating the opposite of that. She extends her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy, is what the text says. What an example of a godly mother. A godly mother protects her children from unbelief by demonstrating obedient faith. You can't help but think about the parents of Timothy, the young evangelist. The faith of Timothy came from the instruction of a mother who was faithful to God. She was, as the text would say, that he was the son of a Jewish woman who believed. And Acts chapter 16 tells us about that. But so out of vogue today is a mother who is dedicated to dedicates her day to the home. Out of style or not, we have to consider God made woman to be a keeper at home. Well, that's not a popular thought or belief for many today. But when you think about it and you consider what Scripture says, let's understand where a woman has her greatest influence. Would you look with me at a couple of passages? We're looking at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. There is, in the context here, some discussion that has taken place or instruction given by the apostle about what is to be done with those who become widows, and in particular, younger widows. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we begin, let's say here at verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, that is, if they don't marry, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Verse 14, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bearing children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Some pretty simple instruction. That some of the greatest influence that a woman can have, the greatest influence a mother can have, is in the home. There's a similar passage just a few pages over in Titus chapter 2, where the apostle is giving instruction to older men and older women and younger men and younger women as well. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. To be a manager of the home, is what the text is telling us, provides a mother and a place of tremendous opportunity. It's not to say a woman can't be outside the home. The industrious woman in Proverbs 31 seems as though she did some work outside the home. But the home was never neglected. And that seems to be a key point that we have to understand, is that the home cannot be neglected, because this is the mother's greatest opportunity to influence and to lead and to teach her children, to protect them, as we are thinking. You know, when you manage the home, when a mother manages the home, she protects children from loneliness and doubt. You think today of the countless homes where small children come home to no parent at all. There's no mother there to nurture or to care. They're met with loneliness. Even if they come home to a house where there are other children, it's still an empty and a lonely house. It is the absence of a godly mother that so often leads to all kinds of problems with these children. Statistically, it's not hard to figure that out. The home is a mother's first line opportunity to teach her children God's word. And that starts at the earliest of age. It amazes me when there are mothers in the home who start teaching their children about God from the youngest age, how quickly they learn. How quickly their minds are set on things that are disposed to God. How quickly they start understanding what would be the will of God. They understand in a greater sense what is right and what is wrong. In the 119th Psalm, if you want to look with me, in the 119th Psalm, and we begin reading here at verse 9. The text says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. For your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." When you think about mothers protecting their children, we can think about that in some very real ways of protecting children from physical harm. And sometimes there's those needs. especially when our children are small and may not see or understand certain dangers. And teaching them stop and how to and to obey commands that come are so important. But with this also comes an understanding of God's Word and the need and the ability of godly mothers to instill in the minds of their children the will of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By putting the will of God in his heart. And godly mothers have such an important role and opportunity to do just that. The home is the first example of purity and holiness. Godly mothers demonstrate that. And when they do, it's a protection. It's a shield that the children can experience from that which is unholy and that which is not pure. And they can be taught the distinction between the two. The power and the influence of a godly mother is something that is just almost extreme. In 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would look with me, here's a passage. It's not talking about the power or influence of mothers with children, per se, but it's talking about the influence of a godly woman. And it's a good passage for us to think about for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 3, at verse 1 we begin. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, that they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your beauty be the outward adorning or of arranging the hair or wearing gold or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It's a beautiful description. A description of a godly woman and the influence that she has in the home, how she might even influence a husband who is not a Christian to think about spiritual things. And you cannot help but think about the influence that a woman has, that a mother has with her children. And so when you think about ways that a godly mother protects her children, you think about all of these points, you'd have to make the point as well, children, other your mother for the protection that she brings and give her happiness and joy. Obey your mother and listen to what she has to say. If you are blessed with a godly mother who is concerned about your soul and trying to teach you and lead you in godly ways, think about these things. What a blessing that you have. Keep listening to her. Obey her. And you'll be blessed. A couple of passages in Proverbs. Look with me. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We begin reading at verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. It's an interesting passage saying, give your parents something to be proud of. And as we're thinking about mothers, it's give your mother some reason to rejoice. Let her see in you a godly spirit, a godly soul. One who's concerned about things that our Heavenly Father would be concerned about, being obedient to Him, and it will bring joy to her. In chapter 30, verse 17. Chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the eagles will eat it. Oh, what an extreme now in thought. There's nothing pretty about this passage. In fact, it's grotesque that the eyes of such a one would be plucked out. Who is that? Who is it speaking of? One who mocks his father and one who scorns his mother. Children, we should all keep in mind the blessings that come from a godly mother and the sadness that disobedience brings to her. Let's appreciate her love and her protection for us. And we think as well about a godly mother, how she prays for her children. Faith in God is the center of her life. Proverbs 31 says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And if we have a mother who is concerned about spiritual things and godly things, we can praise her in that. In that she trusts in God that is before her, her husband and her children. She follows God's ways of motherhood, not the latest fad that comes out on child rearing, but is concerned about things that God says in His book about child rearing. It's been more than once I've been asked, are there any books that you recommend? You know, parents, they're saying, any books that you recommend on raising children? Well, yes, there's one that I recommend. There's one. That is the words that come from God, because throughout the book, sprinkled throughout the book, is instruction for parents on how to raise children in such a way that they might know and understand God. Do you remember? You remember Hannah? Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. One who went to extremes, it seems to me, to be mindful of spiritual things. If you take your Bibles and go with me to the book 1 Samuel. Just reminded of a mother who prayed and a mother who was heard from God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we are looking. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let's start reading at verse 10, where first it says here, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used against his head. In verse 20, it says, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Just an indication of how Hannah would pray regarding things about her son, even before she had a son. But certainly after she had a son, those prayers continued on. You know, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the idea of the importance and the consistency of prayer that is needed and is helpful. It's in Judges chapter 13 that we read a little bit about Manoah, a man named Manoah. And he was a man who was the father of Samuel, you recall? We think about Manoah in Judges chapter 13. And in verse 8, as we pick up in the middle of the story, there's something so interesting that Manoah prayed for. Judges 13, verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God who sent us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. So interesting to me that Manoah and his wife would spend this time praying to God for help in raising their son. Godly mothers do that. Godly mothers pray for their children and do so often. And so children, something that we should remember and something we should keep in mind is to live in such a way that answers her prayers. We don't want to live in a way that's contrary to a godly mother. But keeping in mind that she knows us and she has prayed for us time and again at times where we never even thought, godly mothers have been praying for us. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's not where we want to be. We do not want to cause grief to our mother, but instead we want to be a joy. And we can do so by remembering her prayers, remembering her love for us and her love for God, and seeing and following her example as she prays for us. And then a godly mother prepares her children. Someone said, no influence is so powerful as that of the mother. I think there's some truth in that, that a mother has a tremendous ability to wield influence within her home. Someone else said, a good mother is worth 100 schoolmasters. We think sometimes how sometimes a schoolmaster might have the opportunity to move us and sway us one way or another, and certainly they do, but a mother is so much more so. The value of a mother's love cannot be measured in currency. You can't put a price tag on that, but in moral character, in wisdom, in training that she gives her children, there we can place value. There we can see her influence. We're going to the Proverbs again, chapter 6. Would you look with me? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20 we begin. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak for you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Think about how parents, or in particular how mothers, had the influence to guide us, to lead us, to help us set a course in life. And godly mothers had the ability to help us know God's will, to know His way, to instill that in our mind, and in doing so is preparing us for life. A godly mother prepares children in many ways. You just think about aspects of life where a mother has had tremendous influence. Remember the first day of school? Sometimes I think I have some vague memories of the first day of school. As I can recall, it wasn't so pleasant. You know, and what's better in my memory is my children, my girls, when they were getting ready to start school. And, you know, they were excited about that until that school bus pulled up. And all of a sudden, life changed. Sandra has told the picture. I wasn't there. I wish there could have been a picture. But I have a picture in my mind of Stacy at the school bus door, spread eagle, and Sandra trying to push her in the bus. It was about that hard. But there were some life lessons, and there was a period of time where riding that school bus proved to be a good thing for Stacy, and it was a growing episode. Life training. You know, how to make our way out of the safety of the home. And mothers had the ability to help to teach and prepare for those days. Mothers prepare us for love by teaching and by showing. Demonstration of what real love is, of true sacrificial love. Godly mothers demonstrate that. Godly mothers prepare her children by demonstrating faith. Faith by living, by example, by teaching. A blessing for those of us who saw God and faith in the life of our mothers. You know, there are Bible examples of those who mothers who prepared their children. We talked about Hannah already, how she prepared Samuel for godly service. And we can read as we continue in 1 Samuel, we can read about how Samuel was so moved by the prayers and the influence of his mother to serve God continually. And we think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the influence that she had. How it seems as though she was amazed even at the spiritual fortitude of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, as we just kind of step into a story here about the life of Jesus, how Joseph and Mary had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. And on the way home, they realized Jesus was not with them, and so they had to go back looking for Jesus. They were concerned. They were upset. And yet when they found him, Luke chapter 2, verse 48 says, "So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" It's not surprising to me that it was the mother that spoke up and said, "What are you doing? I mean, don't you understand what you have done to us? We've missed you. We were concerned about you." A mother's love shines through in these ways. But Jesus was right where he thought he needed to be. He was in the synagogue, and he was reading, and he was teaching. And the text goes on to say in verse 51 that then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, that is, he obeyed them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. How is it that mothers have the ability to see something in their children that dads are slower to pick up? And Mary saw something in Jesus, and she knew that her son was special. Mary prepared her son for the work that was before him. You think about the preacher Timothy and the influence of his mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we are introduced to Eunice and Lois, his mother, his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when the apostle says to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." And in chapter 3, and in verse 15, again, he says to Timothy, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Mothers, never discount your influence, the ability that you have to prepare your children, not just to protect them and pray for them, but to prepare them for life, to give them instruction in such a way that they can know God and want to live for God, the power and the influence of a godly mother. And children, it would remind us to accept your mother's preparations. Thank her for all that she does. King Solomon said, "Listen, my children, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your work." That's the way Solomon reasoned it. The influence of mothers is so tremendous. Such a benefit, such a blessing to each one of us. Do not rob your mother of the honor that she is due for the good things that she has done for you. Children, listen to those things. Be a blessing to your mother as she has been to you. And remember the debt we owe our mothers, in that we should give honor to mothers by being true to Almighty God, who gave motherhood to the world and who gave us our mothers. To think about and to remember those things. So just some thoughts collected for Mother's Day, a day that we should remember in our lives more often than we do, giving thanks to the ones who have been such a blessing to us, and giving honor where honor is due. But even again, while we've not discussed at all in this lesson what it is to be a Christian or how to become one, can we think for just a moment about how godly mothers would want nothing more than for us to know the Lord, to live for Him, to live in obedience by faith to the Lord. And as we are reminded of those things, it could be even today that there is someone here who has come to an understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. And you have determined that you need to live in such a way to be identified as a child of God. What Scripture would tell us is that one must repent of their sins, change their life in such a way to live as God would want us to live. Confess His name before men and be baptized for remission of sins. And even today, there could be one who is needing to do just that. Or maybe a Christian that's fallen back into sin. Sin separates us from God. It's not where we want to be. It's not where we should be. But what we need to do is to repent of our sins, and as we repent, confess our sins and pray forgiveness. Can we help you in some way to make your life right before God? Could we encourage you to do that? Would you come as we stand and sing?